Let's just, in a moment, just pause and know that God is in our midst. He's always in our presence. Is there something that you need to hear from God today? Is there something you need to see in the face of God today? Let God know what you seek. And expect God to meet us where we are. Amen. In Jesus' day, it was just like today. When we want attention, we know how to get it. We know how to mope around. Even, of course, it could be feeling bad. That's different. But we do know how to mope around, perhaps. We maybe have learned some tricks. My dog has tricks. Finn the dog has wonderful tricks. When Finn is a little uncomfortable and needs attention, and he's a hound dog, he goes, and you'll say, Finn, yes, what is it? And what's more than just the sound, because you'll hear the sound, you're not staring at the dog all day long, so you hear the sound, and then when you acknowledge, Finn will walk over, and then you see the face of the dog. And he could just, you know, want his belly rubbed, he could just need some food. He always wants food. So it's never that. He might want to go out. He might just want some plain old attention, but he communicates that to us, my wife and I, through these sounds that he makes, but especially from his face. You can just tell. And that's what makes especially the human face so interesting. Like, for instance, if I was going to ask you to make a smiley face, how would you look? Right? I want you to look to your neighbor as you do that. A smile, a nice smile. All right, how about a sad face? Can you do that? Oh, well, that's convincing right there. That was perfect. All right, how about sort of an unexpected kind of a glance on your face? Like, oh, can you do that? Eyebrows go up, right? Eyebrows go up, the mouth kind of turns a bit. Yeah, and how about, can you do a mean face? I know you, no, you can't. Yes, you can. Do a mean face. Do the mean. Harold, you can do mean. Oh, come on. Just try. These are muscles that you don't need to use all the time, but they're there. Because all of us have ways of communicating our face. All of us have ways of communicating how we feel, what we need. And sometimes, of course, most of the time, legitimately so. That we want, what we want is congruence between our authentic self and how we are perceived by other people. You know, it would be sort of incongruent to be miserable inside and have this fake smile on your face all the time. Or if you are feeling really great, it would be appropriate then to have sort of a look on your face that might communicate that. You know, for all the advances of modern technology, for all the wonderful, miraculous medicines and all sorts of therapies and treatments, all these things that just have worked together, improvements in almost every domain of life, people feel more alone now than ever. Because we all feel like strangers to one another. Because from an early age, we're taught that strangers are what? That's right. Strangers are bad. Strangers are dangerous. Stranger danger. You know, we tell our kids, you know, to always have that protective zone around them. Well, the fortunate thing is that sometimes strangers are bad. And it's good for us to have a sense of that. And sometimes we can pick it up by someone's face. Sometimes it's their behaviors. And sometimes we are caught off guard and we may extend a courtesy or a kindness or an intention towards someone only to discover that they're not being authentic, they're not real. And so they sort of fooled us by that look, by that stance, by their behavior. But we're feeling from one another just generally. Cigna Health Company did a survey and found that more than 50% of 20,000 people in a survey that they took in 2017 said that they feel lonely too much of the time. That's sort of a self-assess thing. Do you feel lonely too much of the time? Yes, more than 50% said that. 30% said they feel severely alone. most of the time. And so Cigna and other health companies are now trying to address that. One of the ways that we address that is just by how we function in the community around us. Because I know stranger danger is real, and we need to be careful and always be alert and watch for people's faces. But you know, we miss an awful lot by treating people like strangers, like they're not welcome. And in God's Word, all over the First Testament, the Old Testament, and in the New, we have countless examples of God saying, be careful and kind, be kind to strangers. Watch yourself how you treat strangers. And for those aliens or foreigners compared to where you are, treat them with dignity and respect. No one anything except kindness and goodness and forgiveness. And so this activity that we have around us today is sort of a stranger alertness that keeps us from making connections. You know, our churches can also be strangers. Our churches sometimes can look a little unfriendly. Now, First Presbyterian and Cold Spring notwithstanding, excluded from this, of course. But when you go around and you look at a church, you know, one of the things I've noticed in just going to a whole lot of churches is I don't really know where the front door is. I just can't figure out like where you enter the place. One time I visited a pastor, the first time visit to a church, had an appointment, say 10 o'clock. I was there at 10 o'clock, and I went to a door, you know, there, and I knocked, I rang the bell, and I called him up on his phone. I called inside the church. I was outside at the front door of the church. Hello, Glenn. It's Kevin. I'm outside. Where are you? Oh, just go to the door. I'm at a door. I'm standing right in front. It's a very pretty door. It's a nice big red door. I'm at right here. Oh, and that's not the door. It's the white one right around the corner. So I said, which way? So I had to go around to the other side of the parking lot. And then I stood there and looked, rang the bell. That didn't work either. And then finally I noticed out of the corner of my eye, there was yet another white door. And so I finally went right. But that's not a way for a building to show a happy, welcoming place in the community. It's not a bad thing, but it misses an opportunity. Because had I gotten there and there was just, I don't know, some clear signage, you know, this way to the main entrance, that would just relieve me of unnecessary anxiety. And so through the years, through the decades, our buildings, even our services sometimes can become a bit unwelcoming because we're so used to serving, delightfully so, those that we've come to know and love and trust, that we've forgotten that the mission of the church is to treat strangers like family. We are to extend kindness to everyone we meet. Of course, there are dangers. Of course, there are risks. But the opportunity, as Jesus is talking, there were people walking around, and when they decided, oh, I'm going to show people just how much I love God, I'm just going to be miserable today. Yeah, I'm serving God. And so they got this look of like just awfulness that somehow many extended future, during Lent, let's say, when they give up their favorite Jell-O, you know, for Lent, they just make sure at every meal everybody knows it. You know, I'm giving up Jell-O for Lent. You know, oh, I'd love to eat that, but you know I am giving up Jell-O for Lent. And so we just sort of go through like that. Now, of course, they mean well, and yes, they did give up Jell-O for Lent. But to convey that is Jesus' point in the passage as he's instructing his disciples is you don't have to show your intention on the outside in such a way as to put other people off. That's not a welcoming posture. Instead, when you're doing something out of a discipline or you're praying or you've made, you know what, I'm going to make a better choice in my life, I'm going to start doing this, we don't have to put it on a bumper sticker or a t-shirt or wear it in front of our friends or have that sort of incongruent being grumpy or not being grumpy. Instead, we should just treat all people in a welcome and open way. I want you to think about, say, 20 years ago and how many friends you would count as friends in your life. Say 20 years. And think about today. Is it more or less? Less, right? Less. Now sometimes as we grow older, not my kind of old, not our kind of old, but you know, like my grandmother's old, you know, that kind of old. You know, well, sometimes, as one person told me, you know, I would have a lot of friends, but they've all passed away. You know, that's very sad, but that's just sort of a chronological kind of a lessening of how many friends we have. But it's also true that we have fewer friends because we are just cloistered in on ourselves and we just don't choose to make the friends or get out and build relationships anymore. And sort of Facebook friends are not what I'm talking about. Facebook friends can be nice, but I don't think they're friends. At least they can be friends, but you can't make a Facebook friend into a real friend unless they're a real friend. And that's just a bias that I have. But that's not the kind of friend the church needs. That's not the kind of relationship that God invites us to in this passage when he says, I want you to invest your life into things that matter. Not in places that can be risky and taken away, where the thief comes in and steals. I want you to invest in real relationships, and I want you to have a face on that communicates the love of God and the welcoming spirit of God so that people don't run around and look at you and say, I guess God's not very inviting today by the looks of it. There are two great passages. It's on the inside cover of your bulletin. These are real verses. Deuteronomy 28:50. Don't be a mean-faced people, cruel to grandmothers and babies alike. I think it's on the last page with a little smiley face up at the top. Don't be a mean-faced people, cruel to grandmothers and babies alike. And instead in Numbers chapter 23, it says, do be a place where the face of God can smile on others. What kind of face do you need God to have towards you today? I imagine you need to hear God's acceptance, God's offer of grace, God's sustaining presence with you. These things are all available to you when you look at God. I hope you see that. When you look at the face of Jesus, I hope you receive that, because that's a gift that God offers. And that our churches and our connections and our places where we gather can be places where people see a face of welcoming. In our world today, there's just way too much judgment, way too much just rejection, a lack of inclusion. But here we have an opportunity, as Jesus is talking, that whatever we practice our faith, in this case fasting, whatever we practice in our faith this next 40 days of Lent, let's remember that God has invited us to be welcoming. And although we may give up something for Lent, we may not, but in this Lenten journey, remember that God invites us to put on the face of God. What does our neighborhood, what do our families, what do our neighbors need to see in our face today? Let us pray. Lord, thank you that you've invited us to be welcoming of strangers. Thank you that you have called us to be not only attentive to the journey you invite each of us on individually, but collectively to be a place of welcome. Lord, we know that there are lots of people who feel like strangers all around us. Perhaps you will invite us during these next 40 days as a discipline of Lent to be welcoming of so-called strangers, to invite people in, to recognize, respect, and honor others where they are. Lord, we know that you've done the same with us, and we thank you for your grace, which sustains us, which is a great way to begin the Lenten journey. Amen.